Hi, I'm Christy Potter, and this is Going Gray, the podcast about writing and life and reading and books and love and middle age and everything in between. A couple of quick housekeeping things before we get to today's guest. First, we are nearing the end of our fundraising campaign on Indiegogo. It actually ends on Tuesday, this Tuesday, the 13th. So if you'd still like to contribute, you do have a little time left. When you visit the campaign's homepage, you'll see a list of perks on the right that you'll get in return for your contributions, so don't miss that. You can get to the campaign's page by visiting my website, ChristyTheWriter.com, and clicking on the banner at the top. And I just want to offer a most heartfelt thank you to everyone who has already contributed. Your support has just meant everything to me. Also, a quick reminder that we are nearing the publication date of my debut novel. It's called Oh Brother, and it will be out on September 1st, so I'm very excited about that. I'll be giving you more details about the book as we get closer to the publication date, but don't forget that every Friday between now and then, you can read guest posts from some of the book's characters on my website, again, ChristyTheWriter.com. It's just a fun way to get to know a little bit more about the book and the people who make it tick. At least I hope it ticks. I think it does. But as Mel Brooks once said, I've always been a huge admirer of my own work. Okay, enough of that. Today we are talking with Cam Bennett, the founder of The Well-Written Woman. It's a website, and I'll let her talk a little bit more about it, but it's a website for women writers, and it's a support site and where they can, well, you know what, I'm going to let her talk about it. Let me just get right over to where she is waiting to join us. Cam, thanks for being here.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, that was not a very smooth intro. I think I would rather let you talk about The Well-Written Woman, because you can explain it a little bit better than I can. So tell us a little bit about you and your site and everything that it does and everything.
A few years ago, I spend way too much time online, I think. but a few years ago, I'm an avid reader, and I love feminist websites, but I was finding that so many feminist websites were, they were kind of divisive, and a lot of them were very, I didn't really find a very good, comfortable home there, so I decided that I was going to make a place where women like myself would feel a little bit more supported than they were in some other areas of the internet. It's kind of a tumultuous place out there.
Yeah, oh, definitely, definitely.
But some place where, you know, it doesn't matter what your perspective is or what your background is or what your education level is, some place that you can come and you can read stories that resonate with you, or you can write stories that you want, you know, to share and have somebody else maybe resonate with that and start a discussion and make new friends.
Excellent, excellent. I think it's interesting how the variety of things that people write about on there. Though I read the one that was, I think it was just yesterday, about the woman who was buying shampoo and some guy called her a whore because of the shirt she was wearing.
Yes,
amazing.
You know, you don't think about it, but that happens.
Yeah.
And I've experienced situations like that. Any woman goes out anywhere and they can say, you know, there's oftentimes that we just feel judged, and you know, a lot of times we just think it's ourselves. So it's kind of a nice place to do that.
Yeah, it really is, and I'm always amazed too at the quality of writing that's on there. They're so good, and when they express themselves in their stories, and I think it really helps add to that feeling of empathy, and that we're all on the same team, and let's all support each other. And I think it all stems from good writing and good storytelling, for lack of a better way to put it, that comes on there. So
it's surprising how many of our writers are first time writers. You know, and they're just like, well, I have this story that I really want to tell, and we say, okay. And we do very minimal edits. You know, mostly it's just grammatical stuff.
Now, you do the editing yourself?
Yeah, Lauren and I do.
Okay.
And we actually just added another girl to help us with some of the editing, because we're getting a lot of submissions now. Haley and Lauren help with the editing.
Wow, that's great. So it's really growing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's excellent. Now, is this, so this is really a, kind of the fulfillment of the vision that you had for this. I mean, it's really becoming what you wanted it to be, right?
Yes, it is. I was really surprised, and sometimes I'm a bit overwhelmed by the process because I don't think that it's happened very fast, but sometimes I'm like, whoa, this happened really fast.
Yeah, right? What have you been doing, like 2 years now, I think you told me?
Yeah, 2 years we've been at it now.
Wow.
We started with just, you know, a couple of people that we knew locally that we had written for or with or whatnot, and now we're well over 8,000 fans on Facebook.
Wow. That's impressive. And in 2 years, that does seem like it's grown very, very quickly, but it shows that there really was a demand there for what you're doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now you, is this your job? I mean, do you do other things?
Well, I have a 9-to-5 that I do.
Uh-huh, right.
And it's, you know, it pays the bills until this pays the bills.
Right.
And, you know, I want to say that I'm in a hurry to do that. I am in a hurry to do that because, you know, I want this to be my dream. But on the other hand, I admit I feel a little bit guilty monetizing it,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. Like, we have such a clean site that I just haven't quite come to terms with the fact that it's like, oh, well, we should get paid for this because it's awesome.
Right.
Because I'm just, no, all the best things in life are free.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's hard. And I was just saying to somebody the other day that it's amazing that, you know, the internet, you can't even go on the internet anymore and not be bombarded with as many or more ads as when you're watching TV.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, you got to keep it. I felt the same way when I put ads on my website. The first thing I thought was, oh, yuck. But you need it, you know? I mean, it does help. So hopefully you'll find that. You'll find the comfort in that at some point. So now, I know we've talked before, you also do sometimes book reviews. I know you, because you reviewed mine, I know, a few months ago, Lauren did.
Lauren does most of our book reviews. My partner in crime, she
right.
keeps me together. She does most of the book reviews because she's much better at flying through novels than I am.
Right.
I read so much, but when it comes to novels, I have, I can read them, mm-hmm. but I have 5 of them going at any given point in time, so when it comes to reviews,
right.
she finishes them in a much shorter time for me.
Right, sure. Well, I was wondering how you had time to do any reading for pleasure with your regular job and then this, and, you know, you got a lot going on.
I find a little bit of time here and there,
yeah,
you know.
Sure, yeah. Now, I know that you and I have talked before about you do a little writing of your own.
I do. Mm-hmm. I've done some stuff. I write some for the site, not as often as some of our other contributors.
Mm-hmm.
I've written in the past for a website called Mind Body Green. They're like a health and wellness website, and for a magazine here that's no longer in business called Think Healthy Magazine.
Uh-huh.
Most of it was for like yoga, and I wrote for the yoga studio here locally that I attended
right.
for a very long time.
Uh-huh.
So then I wrote for the site, and one of the articles that I wrote was actually syndicated through MSN Living section.
Wow.
So that was kind of cool.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's very cool. And you've mentioned to me before that you're working sort of piecemeal as these pieces come to you on an autobiography. Tell me a little bit about that.
I literally live in the suburbs, and I have a white picket fence, and, when I bought the house, my mom looked at me, she goes, do you realize how just hilarious this is? That I bought a house literally 2 blocks from the house that I grew up in.
Uh-huh.
And white picket fence and all, but it's been a strange and adventurous journey to get here, and there's a lot of hilarious little anecdotes in my life that have popped up.
Right.
And one of them was, I'm a vegetarian,
mm-hmm.
and bacon is kind of a big thing, I guess, on the internet.
Oh, yeah, huge, yeah.
Like, everybody is like, I love you more than bacon, and I'm like, that's not a lot. Don't tell me that you love me more than bacon, because I hate bacon.
Okay, and why do you, this begs the question, why do you hate bacon, besides the fact that you're a vegetarian?
Well, Well, and that's the thing, I didn't quit eating meat because of some, you know, moral imperative. I did it for health, but part of what led me there was when I was a kid, we lived on a farm. After my parents had separated, my dad and I lived on a farm out west of St. Augustine. Mm-hmm. He'd moved in with some friends, and we'd gotten a pet pig. And I was maybe 6 years old, loved this pet pig. Mm-hmm. And I went to go visit my mom. And when I came back, the pig was gone.
Oh no.
And I was like, Daddy, where's the pig? I knew, I guess, what happens on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want it. Like, you're six. You don't want to admit that that really happens on
no.
a farm.
No, no.
And so Dad's like, honey, about the pig. And he explains to me that, you know, the pig had been slaughtered by his roommate and that it was now in the freezer.
Oh, how traumatizing.
With, you know, what was left of an alligator that they had found.
Oh, God.
That's what happens here in Florida. We eat alligator, and apparently we eat pig a lot.
Oh, no. It's just so wrong. It's just like Charlotte's Web gone wrong.
I know, and I remember being, like, 6 years old and staring up into the freezer and all of these, like, pieces that were, like, stacked like Tetris pieces into the freezer in, like, white wrapping paper, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is horrible. I didn't eat pork again until I was probably a teenager, and even then it was one of those things that, like, just the guilt and the shame, and I'm like, I can't.
I cannot blame you a bit. But see, those kinds of stories are so, I think that you know, what has traditionally been called autobiography, but now they're calling it more, you know, memoir writing or even creative nonfiction, which you and I have discussed before. It's just such a great way, don't you think, to connect with readers? Like, I love that story. As tragic as it is, I love that story. And I think that other people, you know, can connect with that. And I think it's such a good way for a writer to just open themselves up and say, here's my crazy, colorful life. And yeah, it makes everybody feel like we're all friends.
Yeah, and I think as a writer or as a storyteller, it sort of helps you cope with the horrible events. Like, there's no life that isn't faced with tragedy.
Right.
And so I think if you can look at that, sorry, my dogs are in the background.
That's okay.
If you can look through that lens of humor and absurdity, uh-huh, and tell that story through that lens,
right,
I think it's not just, you know, a fun anecdote to share with people, but I also think it's therapy.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. In my book that I did was a lot of memoir style of writing, the one that Lauren reviewed, and I wrote the one of the pieces in there was about my struggle to have a baby, and uh-huh, it was so raw. And I was really hesitated to put it in there because it was so personal. I mean, we're talking like talking about your ovaries personal. And
yeah,
put it out there. And I finally decided to do it. And I put it out there. And, you know, that is the one single piece that people have come to me repeatedly and said, I love that piece. You know,
yeah,
it's letting your soft underbelly show up to your readers and giving them something to connect with. I think it's so important.
I agree with that. You know, mm-hmm, I mean, we talk about creative nonfiction, and yes, there's some embellishment, but that the embellishment in creative nonfiction is that's the rawness of it to
right,
a certain degree. That's where that truth and that, you know, that's where that vulnerability comes in, is in the creativity that's spun into it.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And I see a lot of that on your site. That's what, you know, the pieces on your site are more of that. You know, people just saying, here's what happened, like the girl with the shampoo, here's what happened to me. You know, and you also have quite an interesting variety of people on there. Like, I know you have one contributor who was a nudist.
Yes, she actually, she's written for us for a while now, and her most recent piece was about how pregnancy, I think she's like maybe 7 months pregnant now,
uh-huh,
how pregnancy has made her a better nudist.
Wow. Wow.
That's not something you really think about. No. You think about pregnant women and they're like, oh my God, my body's doing all of these horrible, horrible things. And
right.
Like, oh yeah, it's doing horrible things. But on the other hand, I'm like, hey, this is kind of cool that the body can do it.
Right. Wow. That is an interesting way of looking at it, and it is that kind of stuff that I think makes your site so much fun and such an interesting place to go. Every day it's something different, even if it's the pieces themselves, or I've told you before, I'm a big fan of your word of the day that you put on Facebook. And
I love it. That's my favorite thing.
that is so fun that you would just, and this is just for people who haven't seen your site yet, that you pick, you just, how do you pick those words? You just...
Well, the word of the day usually goes up towards the end of the day, like anywhere between 3:30 and 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
I usually start, like, that's like my afternoon. I'm just like, oh, I'm just going to find something. And if there's been something, if I've come across a word that I didn't understand during the day, I look it up, and that's like on the list for the words. But sometimes I just go looking for something, and I'm just like, huh, what is something funny or horrible or hilarious, whatever, that has happened today, and I go looking for words that describe it, or and then sometimes I get dragged down the rabbit hole of the dictionary.
Right. Well, sure. Yeah, absolutely. But the dictionary is fun for writers. I sit there and just page through it like that. I'm always amazed with your words of the day, because most of the time you have found a word that I don't know, and I pride myself on my big vocabulary and my, you know, writer's brain, and you more often than not find words that I don't know either, and then you write a little blurb that goes with it, you know, like relating it to your life or something that's going on, and I just think it's really clever. I hope I'm not the only really big fan of the word of the day, because I want you to keep doing that.
There are times that it doesn't get like a lot of feedback on the website, but then they'll come along and be like, I love this, please don't ever stop doing it. And I'm like, oh, awesome. Okay.
Awesome, that is so cool.
There's quite a few people out there that are big fans of the word of the day, and it absolutely makes my day when I see those comments or hear those comments.
Sure. Well, that and that's fun, you know, to get that kind of interactive, that kind of feedback, I think, really tells you that, again, you're doing what you hoped that you would be doing with this site. It's a place to go and to feel like you belong, you know, like you're a part of it.
And that's what we try and do. We have a variety of women that write for us, and we have a huge, like, there's a lot of, oh, and here I am, I can't find a word, diversity. There's a lot of diversity amongst our fan base, and I'm really surprised. Like, sometimes I'll post something that's slightly controversial, and we have the people that come out of the woodwork, and they usually have, you know, similar opinions, but you'll find others that have like extremely opposite opinions, and that I love that. And then to see them have conversations, and you'll see on the internet is famous for people just diving into horrible ad hominem attacks, and I have yet to see that happen. In 2 years of our website and of our Facebook page, I've yet to see any horrible, like, arguments break out on either.
I was going to ask you if you had to ever step in there and, you know, mediate an argument or anything, but I have never noticed that on your side, so it's interesting that you haven't seen that either.
No, I think there's only been once that somebody's made, like, even a slightly rude comment, and, you know, I was just like, hey, let's keep it clean, kids.
yeah, exactly. Well, I think that really speaks to the culture that you're building there, though, one of support and respect, and you know, even this, as diverse as the opinions may be in the pieces and the comments, you know, I really do think that speaks to the culture that you've built there, that feeling of respect and you know, support.
Yeah, call it a little bit hippie-ish, but I kind of just want to, you know, I want everybody to get along.
Yeah, oh yeah. I already had the hippie label on you when I was picturing you on the farm bemoaning the pig that turned into bacon. But, yeah, so, okay, now I wanted to ask you also, what do you, I know you've got a lot going on, and we talked about how Lauren does the novels, but what do you read when you have free time and you can pick up anything you want? What kinds of things are you reading?
Well, right now on my end table, I'm reading Henry Rollins' Broken Summers.
Uh-huh.
There is another book called The Sexual Responsibility of Woman that was sort of a gag gift for my birthday, and it was published in 1957, and it's actually a copy from 1957 that my friends picked up at the bookstore.
Wow, interesting.
And it's hilarious because it's got some things that are really progressive and some other things that you're just like, I thought we moved past this. Oh,
wow. Wow. From the late 50s, no less.
Yeah. You know, and you think that in 50-something years that we would have figured it out, but nope.
That's
no,
a little disturbing. Wow.
We're still fighting over it. And then Infinite Jest has been sitting on my end table, and I read this David Foster Wallace book that everybody's like, oh, you need to read this guy. He's fantastic. I got like 40 pages into it. I'm like, this is terrible.
David Foster Wallace is an acquired taste, that is for sure.
Yeah. I think it's going to be like beer and something that I just never get on board with.
He's a little heavy. There's a lot of crap going on in that brain.
Yeah, and normally I love like really twisted stories. Like I'm a huge Chuck Palahniuk fan, and like there's some short stories that I've read that I'm just like, this is great. And because I love things that twist and like dive you in, and you can't focus on anything else until this you figured everything out that happens in the story.
Right.
But this, I was just like, I think this guy did too much cocaine and locked himself in a room and wrote a 1,000-page novel.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. I mean, there's fun and dark and twisted, like, you know, Neil Gaiman, and then there's David Foster Wallace takes you to a whole different level where you're like, kind of take a step back, don't make any sudden moves. This guy's kind of out there, but yeah. So anyway, so yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. Well, you know, and to each his own, I guess. I know that there's plenty of people that I have picked up and tried to read that everybody said, oh, you'll love it. Right off the top of my head, I can't come up with a title, but that's happened to me several times, and you feel almost guilty, like you want to go, yeah, it was great, so that nobody bugs you about it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, but that's interesting for me, too, as a writer to listen to readers, like what you said about, you know, you want to just, you know, dive in and you don't want to do anything else until you find out what happens. That is like the best thing that a writer could hear, you know, to know that they had affected a reader that way. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I like the way you said that. Yeah, that's good.
It doesn't happen very often,
right.
But when it does, right. Like, when I do sit down, when I find something that I'm just like, I have to finish this, I literally cannot put it down. My husband's funny, he says, honey, he goes, when you get like that, I could burn the entire house down around you.
Right.
And you wouldn't even notice.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And that's what every writer would love to hear said about their books. But you're right. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen very often. And my favorite is when you're reading something and you think, how did this person get a book deal for this crap?
Oh, my gosh. I know.
You know? And I'm still trying to get a book deal for anything. You know? I don't know. You know? Maybe it's the writer's ego in me, but I read some stuff and I think, you got a book deal? Really?
Yeah, that happens. I've had a few like that, but I'm just like, you know, if I could just slap somebody with this book, I'd be cool with that. You know, or I read it and I'm like, you know, your publishers need better editors.
Right.
I think because I'm almost always in editor mode, everything I read almost has to go through that editor filter.
Yep. That's a blessing and a curse right there. I'm the same way. Sometimes I would give anything just to read it and not have my editor hat on, but you can't help it.
You can't help it.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, anything else you'd like us to know about your site? You know, this is lots of people tune in to hear this, and so you've got kind of a new audience here, hopefully, that we can drive more traffic. So what else should we know about your site? Anything else?
Not much. We're always accepting new writers, new contributors.
Great.
We have stories we want to tell. We always want to share other women's stories. You know, we want to share as many stories as we want women to come and read the stories.
Great.
You know, we want something for everybody, and they can email us. The email is info@thewellwrittenwoman.com.
Okay.
They can send us information on, you know, if they've written before, what they've written, what they want to write about. Send us just a quick pitch, maybe a sample of writing if you have a personal blog or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And you can check us out on Facebook. We're on Twitter. The Twitter is Written Woman. And then Facebook is The Well-Written Woman. And then the website is thewellwrittenwoman.com. And there's lots of stuff to read there. We just revamped the website a couple of months ago, so it looks awesome.
Great.
And yeah, that's about it.
Okay. Excellent. Well, I hope that everybody who is hearing this at least goes over and takes a look and enjoys all the hard work that you and Lauren have put into it. And I know that I will, of course, be there every day checking you out as well. So
we appreciate it.
Yeah. So thank you so much for being here and for your willingness just to open up your life and tell us about you and your site and what you're doing. So I really, really appreciate it.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Cam, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay. Sounds
okay.
Great.
Bye-bye. There she goes. Again, that was Cam Bennett, founder of thewellwrittenwoman.com. If you haven't visited their site, I hope you will. I read it almost every day, and it's really just a great place for readers and writers alike. All right. That's it for me. I'll be back here again on Thursday. But in the meantime, you can find me on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes, and at www.christythewriter.com.